Hey, when I talk about different things that I see, that God's doing great things in other people's lives too, our speaker today is Jimmy. You want to come on up, Jim? And I may not have to introduce him much longer. All you guys are getting to know him well. I've known Jimmy for, about 3 months?
3 months, yeah, at least.
19 years and 3 months, maybe. But I've watched God do this miraculous thing inside of him that I sit back and I even get amazed at how God can transform someone out of divorces and alcoholism, codependency, and then see him get married with a fruitful, long-lasting marriage, and then ministry flowing out of him. And they started divorce care this last Tuesday night.
Monday night.
If I ever talk English again. But he started it last week. 8 people, very productive, going to be great. And it's going to be one of the cornerstone ministries because of the need in our society for that kind of thing. So I just wanted you to welcome this morning as he comes and breaks God's word with us. And let's just eat on it. Amen?
Amen.
Go for it.
Thank you. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good to be here this morning. You know, it was a time in my life that I didn't come to church. And I think about that, choosing the better thing, you know. And today you chose the better thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus and in the taste of his word. Taste and see that the Lord's good. Amen? I've got a message for you today. I really felt like as I was praying, as Don asked me to come share with you today, you know, I have a box full of messages from the past that I could have pulled a message out of there and put it together. But I heard Father speak to me, let me put this message together. He knows what we all need, amen? So this is a message I feel like that's from Father to us as an individuals and also as a congregation this morning. So if you would, open your Bibles up to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And the title of this message this morning is, Who's in Charge? Who's in Charge? You know, we have a lot of things as we walk through this Christian life that tugs at our heart. One of the things is the world, the things in the world. And we see that all day long. We're bombarded by the things that are in the world to pull us away from the kingdom of God. Another area that we wrestle with is, you know, Satan and his cohorts. You know, we know that we're in this spiritual battle. But today I want to focus in on something that may be new to you, but the scripture is real clear about that, the battle that we're in, and that's the flesh, your flesh. So let's read what Galatians chapter 5 has to say, verse 16. It says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Anybody ever been in that boat, that you do the things you do not do, that you wish you didn't do? When the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about a physical or non-spiritual elements. It's like our earthly body, or it's our sinful nature. So when we're talking metaphorically about our flesh, it's talking about an earthly body or a sinful nature. The key components of the flesh are desire, craving, longing for something, lusting after something. And our flesh demands what it wants. You know, I had to kind of add this to my flesh, because my flesh says, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, I don't know about y'all's, but that's what my flesh does. When it wants something, it wants it now, and he'll, you know, my flesh to tell me, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. Well, here lately I had to change that, because now I got an old car with a Hemi in it. So I had to say, my flesh says, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme a Hemi. So, but our flesh begins to cry out, and it wants what it wants. And that's where the battle begins to take place. It tells us when and how it wants something regardless of the consequences. Listen, your flesh doesn't care where it's going to take you. It doesn't care about the consequences that it takes you through in your life. And you have to come to realize that. That's part of the battle. It begins to pull you away from the things of God. Our flesh is like a spoiled 8-year-old kid. Our flesh sets its mind on something it wants. And it becomes hostile towards God in its rebellion if it's told no. You have to come to the place in your life where you begin to tell your flesh no. Because your flesh is not going to want to do the things that God wants it to do. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. When I started dating Joan, she had 3 children. Eddie, I think, was 12. Joy, the middle child, was 8. And Danielle, she was a little 2-year-old girl. And we was having trouble with Joey, the youngest one. And he used to have these tantrums, what I call a fit. I never saw anything like it before in my life. But he would literally throw himself on the floor and start kicking and crying and screaming. And I think, good God, what's wrong with that boy, you know? And Joan goes, I don't know why he does that. And I said, well, let's try something. I said, let's just ignore him and see what happens. And so I said, I think he's wanting attention. And so I told her, I said, just when it happens again, let's just ignore him and see what happens. And so I was reading the newspaper on the couch one day. She was reading a magazine, and he comes in there, and he just falls on the floor, starts kicking and screaming and hollering. And I'm thinking, you know, and I finally pulled the paper down, and I told him this. I said, listen, if you want some attention, that's not the way to get it. You need to come over here in front of me to get some attention. And so I went back reading the paper. And about 30 seconds to a minute, he stopped. And I felt somebody come up to me. You know, he got up and he was in front of me. I pulled the paper down and I set it aside. And he crawls up in my lap. I said, now that's the way to get attention. Of course, you don't want him crawling up in your lap now because Don knows him. He's about 6'2", weighs about 250 pounds. But I thought, look at this, you know. That's inherited in us, you know, even as children. You know, we have this flesh that wants to scream out, wants to throw tantrums, and it tells you, give me what I want right now. And we have to understand that, that there's a war going on. They're contrary to one another. Your flesh and your spirit, there's a battle going on. Go hold your place in Galatians and go to Romans chapter 8. Flip over to the left. Romans is past Corinthians. Romans chapter 8. And hold your place in Galatians, because we're going to go back and forth between Galatians and Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. When you get there, you say amen. Y'all can say amen every once in a while. Encourage me a little bit. Amen. I need an amen section. Okay, let me know you're out there. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor can be. Well, let's stop right there. Well, verse 8 goes on to say, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. To be carnally minded, verse 6, or fleshly minded is death. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we see we have two different mindsets right here, right? It starts in your mind. You have two different mindsets that he's talking about. One brings life and peace. One brings death. Because he's telling us, look, if you go this way, it's gonna bring death. If you go this way, it's going to bring life and peace. Okay? And my question today is, which one do you want? It's your choice. You have to begin to choose which way to go. He's laid it all out. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. Everything you need to live this life, I've already done it for you. But you have to learn how to tap into things. There's a principle to a promise when it comes to the things of God. You have to understand that. You have to have the comprehension and understanding something before you receive the promise. So who's in charge, your flesh or your spirit? You have to start questioning that. Who's in charge? You know, when your flesh is crying out, I want what I want and I want it now, you have to say no. No, that's not what God wants. And you begin to understand that. I mean, you got to start somewhere. So a lot of people are not even aware of this battle that's going on. But it's real rampant in our lives today. We need to stop and say, wait a minute. That's not what God wants. I want what God wants. Now, I remember when I was coming up here, getting ready to move up here, there was things I had to do. There was finances I had to take care of. There was a physical part of moving itself, packing everything up, and it was real stressful. And you know, the enemy was working hard. My flesh was crying out, you know, because I was tired. I was frustrated. A lot of times I was stressed out. And I just began to say this, Jesus, I want what you want for my life. I don't want what I want. You have to come to that place where you begin, Jesus, I want what you want. Whatever that is, I want what you want. Sometimes we don't even know what that is. We have to start somewhere. And I started praying that way. Jesus, I want what you want in my life. And as I began to do that, this peace came upon me. This peace that I needed to get beyond where I was at. Because there's life and peace in that when you're in the Spirit. The other question that Paul asks us, do you want to please God? Do you want to please God? For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, you can always tell when you're in the flesh because the works of the flesh equals frustration. If you're frustrated and you're struggling and you're just spewing up everywhere, guess what? You're not in the Spirit. You're in the flesh. And if you want to please God, you got to learn how to start dealing with those things from inside. Those things that are here are heart issues. And only God can come in and begin to pull those things out of you as you begin to yield to Him and you begin to surrender to Him by His Spirit. It's like a bratty kid. Our flesh, which is far more developed, will become adults. And it brings corruption and ruin in our lives. Now we have an adult kid to deal with. And that's worse than an 8-year-old to deal with. You know, so even dealing with yourself, you're your worst enemy. Aren't you? You're your worst enemy. You don't need a devil to run havoc in your life or the world. You're your worst enemy. But you have to start taking control. But you, and the good news is, you don't have to do it by yourself. Now, there was a time in my life I had anger problems, and this has to do with dealing with our middle child. I know something about middle child. They're the hardest, seems like, sometimes. I had issues with anger. And through the process of time, him growing up, he got off into drugs and alcohol, or drugs, period. And he was real rebellious, and I was trying to deal with him. But I had this anger keep rising up in me, you know, and I knew it was there. And God kept telling me, you got to get rid of this anger. You have to give it to me. When you feel it coming up, don't just let it spew out. Cut it off. You have to cut it off, and you have to start praying and asking me to take it from you. It's casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And if I ever heard God tell me this one thing, He says, I can't use you, son, if you're still angry, because you'll get angry at people. You got to walk in God's love. And you have to get rid of some things in order to get filled up with what God has for you. You have to get rid of things in order to get filled up. Amen? And that's part of the process that God took me through. Go back to the book of Galatians. Just turn back over there to the 6th chapter. I got one of those red markers, so it's easy for me. Just flip it. Galatians chapter 6 is another important scripture that we need to look at. Verse 8, actually verse 7. Galatians 6:7. tells us this. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he also shall reap. For he who sows to his flesh, there's that word again, if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And this is where we get tired sometimes of doing that, but look what verse 9 says. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due seasons we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the corruption of the flesh. There's nothing good in your flesh. God didn't redeem your flesh. And he even tells us that our enmity, that our fleshly mind, our carnal mind is enmity against God. It's God's enemy. So we have to stop and start even question what we're thinking about. What are you thinking about? If I had some way to put this helmet on you, you know, or even myself, I better use myself because y'all might get mad at me if I do that. If you put this helmet on myself and I had some way of plugging it in up there on the screen and you could see my thought process, you could see all these things running through my mind, what would you think be up on that screen? Would it be fleshly things or would it be spiritual things? And this is a point we have to come to because God says that's not pleasing to me. We need to come and begin to question what we're even thinking about. Amen? I'm glad y'all saying amen. Y'all still love me? Y'all being awful quiet. Our flesh can generate jealousy, flaming tempers, drug and drinking problems, cause us to do things that are moral, quarrels, and a lot of other things. And that's referenced to Galatians 5:18, the works of the flesh. So what's the answer to all this? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you the answer, okay? Go back to Romans. Flip back over to Romans. Chapter 8. Verse 9 and 10. Paul tells us this. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen, when you get born again by God's Spirit, this is what he's talking about. When you get born again, your spirit gets born again. This is where the Holy Spirit comes, resides in you, in your spirit man. You ever wonder how a Holy Spirit can ever come and be holy in you? Because a lot of times we're not too holy, are we? We didn't walk on the things of God, do we? This is what happens. The Holy Spirit comes and he abides in you. He makes a home in you. But the problem is we have a soul also, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. This is all up here. Your soul is connected to your spirit. Spirit man, and then you got this body out here. You got this flesh out here. And what's got to happen, you have to have your soul and your spirit working together. When you get your soul and your spirit lined up with each other, two are stronger than one, right? So if you get these in agreement, it's going to override your flesh. In the scheme of things, this is what God says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. This is the way, when you get born again, this is the way God wants you to understand. That's the way I created things. I don't want you in the flesh. There's nothing good that dwells in your flesh. There's nothing good carnally that you think about. That's not pleasing to me. I didn't create you that way. So we have to go come back and realize how God created us. And another thing that happens is we try to do this on our own. How many times you try to quit some kind of addiction on your own? How many, and you fail short? Okay. Now we're going to look at something that'll help you. Says you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. What does that mean, spirit? It means pneuma. It means breath, breeze, a current of air, wind, and spirit. When God created Adam, he took his very breath and blew life into him. There's something about that breath of God that He breathes into us as well. And we need to understand that. And because of that, that's the power that we need. We talk about spirit, it's a part of a person capable of responding to God. It's your spirit man that's capable of responding to God. It's going to bear witness. The Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit. How do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know you're saved and you're going to heaven? How many are saved and going to heaven today? I mean, how do you know that? By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's how it works. Okay? The Holy Spirit, who is He? He has the characteristics of a personality. He's the third person of the Trinity. He draws us to Christ. He convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit enables us to accept Christ as our personal Savior. He's there when you get saved. He assures of us of our salvation. He enables us to live a victorious life. He helps us understand the Bible. He helps us to pray according to God's will. He helps us to share Christ with others. And He also, most importantly this morning, the Holy Spirit will enable us to overcome our flesh. You don't have to do it by yourself. He helps us to subdue our flesh when we continually submit ourselves to His power and control. But there's something about yielding and surrendering that we have to come to. And I've tried to do this on my own, and I fall so short. So what I want to do is to take you on a little journey about the Holy Spirit this morning. Just some scriptures. So go to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
I don't want y'all to miss nothing. 14:15 says, Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, He will give you another helper, that He will abide with you forever. So it's the Father who imparts the Holy Spirit. You know, it was His plan from the very beginning to send this precious Holy Spirit to be with us, to indwell in us. When He talks about another, He talks about another the same kind, another just like Jesus. He's another the same kind. He's another just like Jesus. You know, we think if we were lived back in the old days, we walked the earth with Jesus, that it would be so much different. Listen, He said it's to our advantage that He goes away, that the Holy Spirit comes. But we don't understand all that. We don't appropriate that. We don't apply that in our lives and understand it. And He talks about a helper. I'm going to send you another helper, a comforter. Paracletos means to call one along one side. John 14:17 is another scripture. It said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So He's a Spirit of all truth. A lot of times what happens, we don't, in our lives, in our daily walk, we don't run on truth. What is truth? It's God's Word. We run on our emotions and our feelings. One of the things that the Lord began to show me is that what happens to people is that we get on this emotional roller coaster. We have feelings and we have these things in our life. And we begin to run on our feelings and our emotions, and it becomes a roller coaster ride like this. You know, your emotions lie to you. How many, you know, one minute you be feeling good, and next minute you be feeling sad. You know, and it's like up and down, up and down. God doesn't want you to operate like that. But there's a thing about putting truth in front of your emotions. When you begin to put God's Word in front of your emotions, then they become godly emotions and godly truths. Godly feelings, I mean. And there's something about every time when the Holy Spirit begins to woo you, begins to speak to you, He's always told me, Jimmy, what's the word say? In every given situation, He's always brought me back to that right there, because it's a stabilizing force in your life. When the Word of God comes and you're confronted with things, it begins to stabilize your life to where you don't run on your emotions, you don't run on your feelings. God's created you to have feelings. He's created you to have emotions, to love each other, to love Him. But He doesn't want you to run on them. He wants you to run on truth. Does that make sense? And that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that He does. The question is, do you know Him? He's your best friend. You need to get to know Him. The world doesn't know Him. The world can't know Him. Only you can, as a believer in Christ. John 14:26 is another scripture. John 14:26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to do to you." So we see that He also teaches us. He's our teacher. And He'll remind of all things what Jesus has spoken. So we see, number one, He's our helper. He's our teacher. And number three, He's our guide. John 16:13. Just flip over another chapter. John 16:13. He's our guide as well. John 16:13 says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." So we see the Holy Spirit, who's our helper. He comes alongside of you to help you to get beyond what's going on in your flesh. He begins to teach you about the kingdom of God and how to stay out of the flesh. He begins to guide you in all truth. And He'll begin to remind you of all the things that you've learned, and then it's in the Word of God. He'll bring you back to the remembrance of the things that you learned, that you've been taught. But we have to be listening. Do you know Him? So the Holy Spirit is our helper, our teacher, our God, who leads us into all truth about our Savior and King. He's preparing us to be the bride of Christ. This is one of the craziest things that I ran across. You know, Robert, you're going to be a bride one day. You know, we're all going to be the bride of Christ. You know, whether male or female, there's no Greek or Jew. Scripture talks about in the Scripture. But we're all going to be the bride of Christ. And this is a work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to clean this up. Can you imagine getting married to somebody that's got no makeup on, curlers in their hair? You know, they're walking down the aisle and you're down here waiting your bride to come down here. And she's not looking very pretty either, but she's looking kind of mean. You know? But that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is he's cleaning us up. He's preparing us to meet with Jesus. That's His ministry. That's His role that He's doing. Now go back to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And it says this, "Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." In other words, you don't owe your flesh anything. You owe your flesh zero, nada, nothing. Don't give your flesh the opportunity to take you places you don't want to go, because there's consequences in life. There's always a consequence, a good one or a bad one. But it says you're not a debtor to listen to your flesh. You don't owe it nothing. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Ouch. So, you know, there's a spiritual death as well as a physical death. You have to understand that. You begin to die spiritually. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Listen, we have to come to the place where we begin led by the Spirit of God. There's things that I had to do that wasn't easy. Going through the drugs and alcohol scene. You know, all I wanted to do was to stay sober and quit drinking. That was my goal when I first started out. But then I realized that I had some other areas I had to start dealing with. You know, they tell us that the symptoms of your of drugs, your drinking, is just a, you know, that's not the symptom. That's just part of it. But your problem is your selfishness, your self-centeredness, driven forms by many other things in your life. It was heart issues that I had to start to deal with. And so I began to deal with things as the Holy Spirit began to lead me, even areas of pornography, you know, because I had to get rid of things. God started cleaning me up. The Holy Spirit began to woo me to start getting rid of things. And because He knew it was going to cause me to pull me back into the flesh. And so I had a 55-gallon barrel drum. I used to burn trash. You know, I lived out in the country, so I was able to just take it all away and burn it, put it in there, and get rid of it. We have to break off the things of the flesh in order to go forward. You have to be obedient when the Holy Spirit begins to tell you to do things. So He's talking about to be led by the Spirit. Number one, we have to be led by the Spirit, interacting with Him, obedient when He speaks. We have to be obedient when He speaks. In order to be led, you have to be obedient. This is where we mess up a lot of times because we begin to recycle. The Holy Spirit begins to woo us to do things. He begins to convict our hearts to do things. But then we have to make that choice to be obedient. And if we're not obedient, then what happens? We begin to recycle. We begin what I call going around the mountain again. Anybody ever done that? You go around the mountain again, God keeps convicting you by His Spirit, and you begin to keep doing things. And you go, why am I having such a hard time with this? And we have to realize your flesh is involved. Your flesh, my name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's going to keep screaming and hollering and kicking, you know, until it gets what it wants. But you got to subdue it by the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You have to come to that place to be obedient. Number two, Galatians 5:16. Go back to Galatians now. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I'm getting excited. Galatians chapter 5. So we're talking about being led by the Spirit, interacting with the Holy Spirit, being obedient when He speaks. Chapter 5:16, which we opened up with, says this, walk in the Spirit, that you might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we're talking about being led, and we start, as we're begin to be obedient, and we say, yes, Lord, I want what you want. I don't want what I want anymore. I want what you want. We begin to be led. And then we begin to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You begin to do these things. There's an order to things that the Spirit of God begins to lead you by. So we're being led, number one, and we begin to walk so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And number three is Galatians 5:24. It says this, and those who or Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we also walk in the Spirit. So here we see another avenue where we live in the Spirit. So we're being led by the Spirit. We're obedient to what the Spirit is telling us. Then we begin to walk in the Spirit, to walk that out, what He's telling us. We begin to walk in the Spirit. And next thing you know, you're living in the Spirit, man. And that's an awesome place to be. And when you're in it, man, it's like nothing can touch you. You know, you're in a place of immunity with Christ. There's a place of a bliss there with God because you're living in it. You're living, He's living inside of you. He's working things out of you. And that's a place where we want to be. And because of that, Galatians chapter 5, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, begins to take place. When we begin to be led, we begin to walk, we begin to live, guess what? Here comes the fruit of the Spirit begins to operate in our life. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't you want that in your life? Love, joy, peace. Man, I love it. I love the peace. You know, Jesus says, my peace I leave you. It's His peace, man. You get His peace. It's a heavenly peace. He says, my joy I leave you. I don't even like the word happiness anymore. Because it can't compare to the joy that Jesus gives you. Amen. You know, people used to tell me at work, man, quit smiling. You don't want to be smiling out here at work, you know. I said, man, I can't help it. I got the joy of the Lord in my life. Let me tell you about it. You know, and you get these things begin to operate in your life. You get long suffering. You get kindness. You know, start doing acts of kindness in your life. You have goodness begins to happen in your life. Because why? Because you're being led. You're obedient. You're walking. You're living in the Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 20. I'm almost through. Acts chapter 20. Y'all get to go eat early today. Acts chapter 20. This is another level that we need to come to. So we've been talking about being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. And Paul takes it to another level in his life. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 says this, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit. There's that word again. I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that change and tribulation await me. But none of these things move me. What moves you in your life? And I do not count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. There's that word again, joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, I testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So he's in another level. It's like stair-stepping. You start stair-stepping this thing up. And the more you work on it, the more you'll start you realizing it. And you'll start catching yourself. And the Holy Spirit begins to woo you and begin to change you from the inside out. You begin to come to that place. Well, none of these things move me, no matter what's going along. You know, the devil will steal your peace real quick. You know, one minute you're in Jesus, next minute you're in the devil. You know, you're just in this fight going back and forth. But Paul had come to that place where nothing moved him. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He wasn't moved by the circumstances that was going on around him. But he held his peace because he understood this whole deal about being led, about walking, about living, and about being bound in the Spirit, because it was in his life. He gave his life to Jesus. You know, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And he says, the life I live now in the flesh, he understood that. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. You have to come to that place where you realize that he is more in you than you realize. He wants to help. And he goes on, number three, that I may finish my race with joy. There's something about having joy in your life. Nobody wants to be around a sour pickle. You know, I don't. I don't want to be around sour pickles. You know, and you see that all the time. We should be joyous people. We should be, it attracts others. When you're up, man, you're up. You know what I mean? It attracts people around you. They want to be around you. They want to hang out with you. And we need this in our life. We need to learn how to come to that place where we do that. And number four, the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we're all called. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to minister to one to another. We're all called to win souls for the Lord. If you never prayed with somebody to receive Christ in their life, you need to start praying in that direction. God, I want souls. I want to pray for people. I want to see them come in your kingdom. And it's not going to happen. I tell people, you don't pray, nothing's going to happen. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. But if you'll start praying and start using the tools that God's given us, you'll see God begin to do mighty works in your life and around you. Amen? Amen. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we're doing. We're testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. We're telling others, hey, you can have the same thing I've got. Galatians 5:17. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and they're contrary to one to another. That means they're opposites. There's a positive and a negative. You have to come to that place where you begin to subdue your flesh by the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it on your own. You just ask the Holy Spirit, come help me. He's your helper. It's just that simple. We make it too hard. Holy Spirit, come help me sustain from my flesh the things that are going on in my life. I need your help. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me in all truth. And you begin to, he'll come alongside of you. I was going to use Robert. I'm going to go ahead and do it now. But it's that Paracletos thing where the Holy Spirit begins to come alongside you, and he'll grab you like this. And you're talking to him. You begin to be led by the Spirit. And you're walking in the Spirit, and he's talking to you. You know, you got a red face, Robert. What happened to you? Did you have fun yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. Amen. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He grabs you, and he begins to interact with your life. And because of that, you know, he'll begin to woo you by his side and begin to get those things out of you. And he goes on to say, that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of us can say that's true in my life? I do not do the things that I wish. I struggle with this. But this is one area we need to come to. We need to quit blaming the devil on everything. You know, it's not the devil. Like I said, you're your worst enemy. And this is what this is talking about. So who's in charge? That's the question today. Who's in charge? Your flesh or the spirit? Who do you want to be in charge? It's your choice. You make the choice. Amen. Thank you.